From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
War of Will chased home by Country House past the 16th. It's War of Will. War of Will from Country House, then Boyland. War of Will wows well of them again. Won the Risen Star from Country House.
Up on the outside, running is Outshine, now gaining ground, and toward the rail is Lord Dragon. Down to the wire, it's Tacitus going to the front. Tacitus strikes to the lead. Tacitus to win the Tampa Bay Derby.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by FarmPaint.com.
Spinoff was taking a short lead from a battling By My Standards. Swingo, then Country House. It's Spinoff and By My Standards for Gabriel Saez. It's By My Standards and Spinoff. By My Standards at 22-1 to win the Louisiana Derby.
With an eighth of a mile to the finish, Mind Control down at the rail, Instagram on the outside, Much Better's in between those two. The three of them continue to battle it out, and here's Haikal making a late run on the extreme outside. They come for the finish. It is Haikal to win the Gotham.
Now here's Jude Feld.
Good morning, HRRN Nation, wherever you may be. The Equine Forum is on the air, and happy Derby Day to each and every one of you. 10 hours, 48 minutes, 34 seconds until the Run for the Roses, and really looking forward to today's action. It's going to be a fantastic card at Churchill Downs. We've got a beautiful Kentucky Derby field. And it's going to be pretty good weather-wise, I think. I was able to reach out to Jude Redfield, who's the meteorologist for WDRB News. And Jude's been doing the broadcasts of Kentucky Derby weather for many years now. We got to be friends because we have the same name, and they put his picture on my picks for the Kentucky Derby in the Louisville Courier Journal. So we often laugh about that because he's a very young, handsome guy, and I am not. Jude says that it's going to be a little bit rainy until about noon, and then just scattered showers throughout the afternoon. We had a beautiful day at the Kentucky Oaks yesterday. If we could duplicate that for today's Kentucky Derby, it's just going to be a fantastic afternoon. We saw some impressive races yesterday at Churchill Downs. Concrete Rose won the Edgewood Stakes. She beat Newspaper of Record, who came into the race undefeated. It was Newspaper of Record's first run this year, and she ran a valiant race, but just didn't have enough left at the end, and Concrete Rose got up and beat her in what I would say is a major upset. Bob Baffert's horse, McKenzie, who was beaten a dirty nostril at Santa Anita in the Santa Anita Handicap. He came back in the Alley Sheba yesterday and just blitzed the field. Just won like a good horse should, and it was a nice thing to watch. World of Trouble, an interesting horse that got beat. Azop at Churchill Downs in the Breeders' Cup last fall came back in the Twin Spires Turf Sprint, which is a grade three race, and he won that race rather easily in an impressive performance. And then the Oaks, what a great race that was. Serengeti Empress, who had bled in her previous start and had taken a lot of time to recover, and Tom Amos, her trainer, doing such a great job. And she just toe-roped the Oaks field, winning very easy and looking good doing it. She'd actually won a race at Churchill Downs earlier in her career by, I think, 19 and a quarter lengths. So it's evident that she loves Churchill, and she sure showed it yesterday. And that brings us to our poll question of the day. Who do you think was the most impressive winner on Oaks Day? And we're going to give you four choices: Concrete Rose, McKenzie, World of Trouble, and Serengeti Empress. So vote for your favorite one of those. Who impressed you the most yesterday? And we'll see what happens with that. We had an incident at the starting gate in the Oaks yesterday. Positive Spirit threw her rider after she got squeezed a little bit and clipped heels. So that was a bit scary for a lot of people. to see that. Her rider, Manny Franco, got up to his feet and handled everything fine. The filly, Positive Spirit, was okay. I read a tweet this morning from her trainer, Rodolphe Brissette, and he said that she was walking great this morning and everything was A-okay with her. So that's good news. Jaywalk caused the trouble, and she was actually disqualified, which there wasn't a lot of news on that. But Jaywalk finished 7th and was disqualified to 13th, so really didn't have much bearing on anything. But she was penalized for that. She was placed last behind the filly that she bothered. So that was a little bit of interesting things to note about yesterday's Oaks. We've got a fantastic Derby on schedule for today, and there's so many storylines and different things happening. We're going to bring you interviews with a lot of the major players. At about 8:13, Todd Pletcher was interviewed with Mike and Kurt at Churchill Downs, and we're going to have that for you, talking about his entrance, Cutting Humor and Spinoff. There was a little bit of controversy this week with Cutting Humor. Corey Lannery was originally named to ride when Mike Smith unfortunately lost his mount on Omaha Beach when Omaha Beach had to be taken out of the race due to entrapped epiglottis. He jumped on Cutting Humor, and a lot of people were upset about that. But, you know, it's the Kentucky Derby. The owner wants to get the best rider that he can, and at least Corey Lannery is going to get paid just the same as Mike Smith if the horse wins or places or earns any money whatsoever. So they're paying double jock mount, which is a lot of dough in a race that's worth $3 million. So it's as fair as they could make it, I guess. And unfortunate for Corey, he doesn't have a mount in the Derby now, but I guess some people understand that better than others. Big deal. So we'll have Todd Pletcher. He'll talk about Cutting Humor. He'll also talk about his horse Spinoff, which is a horse that I think has a long shot chance to win. He's been training well and really improving his speed figures. He's getting really good at the right time. That'll be about 8:13 or so. Bill Mott will join us 8:36, talk about his entrance. Then we'll have Shug McGahey, Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahey, talking about Code of Honor and how he feels about him coming into the race. He had a very nice workout at Churchill the other day, and that'll be the first part of the show. And the second part of the show, we're trying to get Tom Amos to come on live. He may still do that. He's obviously very busy this morning. His back is probably sore from taking all the bows from Kentucky Oaks yesterday. But if Tom doesn't come on, I'll have the press conference that he did yesterday with Jose Ortiz and the owner of Serengeti Empress. So that'll be good. And then after that, we'll have Bob Baffert sat down with Mike and just kind of shot the breeze for 20 minutes. Very, very good. Very entertaining. You're going to love that interview. That's about 9:21. And so we'll get through that. And then Anthony Stabile is going to come on and join me, and we'll get his impressions of the Oaks. And we'll talk a little bit about what our final selections are in the Derby and maybe how we're going to approach the race betting wise. So we've got a fantastic show lined up for you, and it's really going to be a lot of fun. We'll take a break right now. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by farmpaint.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds by Distorted Humor. Millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired four millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include Cutting Humor, winner of the Grade 3 Sunland Park Derby, plus three-time graded stakes winner Sharp Samurai, and international star Shamal Nybras. Last year, his yearlings brought prices up to $210,000. First Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Spendthrift Farm introduces its newest breeding program for 2019, the Safe Bet Program. Breed to a fourth-year stallion and watch his first crop of two-year-olds have measurable success on the racetrack in 2019, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born. To learn more about the Safe Bet Program, visit spendthriftfarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's spendthriftfarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
And now Cutting Humor on the outside, joining Mucho Gusto, and has gone to the front. Mucho Gusto tries to fight back. Cutting Humor on the outside and Mucho Gusto, and they turn together. Mucho Gusto digs in on the inside. Mucho Gusto, Cutting Humor, now another twist of fate, lets loose and down the center, tries to run down Cutting Humor. Cutting Humor, another twist of fate, another twist of fate, coming with every stride as they go to the wire. Cutting Humor just got in from another twist of fate. Six away, Mucho Gusto, wicked indeed, at iCloud.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld, and I'm in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio. You heard that call of the Sunland Derby. Quite a nice race for Cutting Humor, and Mike and Kurt Becker were able to catch up with trainer Todd Pletcher, who talked about Cutting Humor and his other entrant in the Kentucky Derby today, Spinoff. Cutting Humor is going to be ridden by Mike Smith, and Spinoff will have Manny Franco in the saddle. So here's that interview with Todd Pletcher right now.
Todd Pletcher is here. He's in search of a third Kentucky Derby. Has a couple of chances this year. Let's start with Cutting Humor. Tell me a little bit about him and his campaign this year. That last win was pretty impressive.
I really think it was. I think the Sunland Derby, maybe isn't on everyone's at the top of everyone's radar, anyways. But he was able to run a mile and an eighth and 1:46.4, which I know the surface was quick that day, but anytime you have a 3-year-old. Shade 1:47 in March, to me that's a pretty significant race, and I thought he did it well. He was able to work out a good stalking trip and able to get into that rhythm. Unfortunately, in the southwest, he wasn't able to do that. He got jostled around in the first turn and kind of lost all chance, but I think if he's able to get into that same scenario in the Derby where he's able to find a good comfortable rhythm, and then I think that would give him a chance.
You know, you say the Sunland Derby isn't on a lot of people's radars. I remember it was 10 years ago, and I stood here interviewing a guy on crutches named Chip Woolley, and it definitely wasn't on anybody's radar then. Mind that Bird pulled off that 50-1 upset. So maybe people should pay attention to that race.
Yeah, I mean, I think over the years it has, it has developed into a solid prep race. And, you know, the one thing about it that I like is scheduling-wise, it gives you an opportunity. If you decided you needed to race again before the Derby, you have that option, similar to the Louisiana Derby, which we did with Spinoff. But, you know, when they run well and you feel like you've hopefully got enough points to get in, you also have that option to train up for 6 weeks.
Spinoff's a horse that's high on a lot of people's list. I've heard his name mentioned several times. He looks great on the racetrack in the mornings. That effort in the Louisiana Derby, I thought was pretty good. Maybe a little unlucky not to get the victory.
Yeah, I think a little bit of it was just his lack of seasoning. And, I thought he ran a good race. As you know, the stretch at the fairground seems to go on forever. And for him to go there first time, he made the lead at the eighth pole. And, I just don't think he was seasoned and experienced enough to know what to do with it. You know, he got to the lead and he kind of idled a little bit. And By My Standards ran a huge race. And by the time he went by him, he re-engaged, but it was a little too late. So I think it was a good experience for him, and certainly should set him up for this being his third race off the layoff, hopefully to run the best he can.
You know, Kurt and I were talking earlier, for a guy that's won two Kentucky Derbies and had so much success in this race, it seems like you're somewhat under the radar this year, almost, I'll use the word disrespected a little bit, like athletes love that word, right? Do you feel that way?
No, I mean, I think part of it is we shipped in late. You know, we just came in on Tuesday. We decided to stay at Palm Beach Downs and train there. And, you know, I thought it was important with both horses coming off six-week layoffs to have a consistent schedule. And, you know, the weather looked so good. We were kind of monitoring as we went along. But every time I looked at the 10-day forecast, it was better in Florida than it was in Kentucky. So we decided to stay a little longer there. And I think by coming in late, you know, they're coming in under the radar a little bit. And plus, both of their prep races were 6 weeks out. So they were the furthest out prep races. And I think, you know, everyone's kind of looking at what's going on recently. But I actually don't mind it. I like coming in under the radar a little bit. And if, the horses show up on Saturday, there'll be plenty of attention then.
Will you still go back and watch the replays of Super Saver and Always Dreaming from time to time? Just kind of pull it up on the internet and spend some time looking at those?
Yeah, we'll do that every once in a while. So maybe you had a bad day, you want to build your spirits a little bit, and that'll certainly do it.
You know, I talked to Bob the other day, and, you know, here trying to win six Kentucky Derbies. And I mean, unbelievable. You've been here several times. You've won the two. Put into perspective how big an accomplishment that is to win six Kentucky Derbies.
It's a remarkable achievement, especially when you think about, you know, he lost a really tough one with Cavaneer, and then Bodie Meister ran huge. I mean, he's obviously figured out what it takes and how to get horses ready for the Derby and for them to perform well. So it's a remarkable achievement. And, you know, last night at the Derby Trainers Dinner, I think, you know, even though he's won six, he's you know, looking for that sixth, and it's just it's. Each one, you know, is even more special than the previous one. And part of that is, like he said, with the owners and seeing their excitement and everything for it. I think that's what, for us trainers, makes it all the more, you know, exciting and rewarding.
I'm glad you brought up the owners. Kurt, you had a couple ownership questions regarding Todd's two horses.
Well, you know, one thing, we've got a running joke when it comes to the Wertheimer family, because it'll always say Wertheimer and Frere. So we always like to joke, we never see this Frere fella show up. will members of that family make the trip? Will they be here on Saturday?
Yes, the Wertheimers are planning to be here. And, they don't go racing a lot in America, so it's a big deal, and they're very excited about it. And the Wertheimer and Ferrer thing, especially when we first started training for it, was like a running joke, because everywhere we would go, every state licensing office would call and say, you need a license for Ferrer. And for those that don't know, it means brothers in French. And so they were always kind of looking to license one other person.
With regard to their horse, Spinoff, I've always found it interesting. It's one thing if you go with a client to a yearling sale or a two-year-old in training sale and you pick one out. It's another thing when you have a client who has homebreds. When you first saw Spinoff, I mean, obviously, when the Wertheimers come calling, you're going to train for them. What were your first impressions of Spinoff?
Well, actually, he went to my dad's training center in Ocala. I think, at the end of September of his yearling year. And so I usually spend Christmas at my dad's in Ocala. So the first time I see most of the yearlings that are homebreds or whatever that we didn't select at sales is around that time. And by the time that I got there, they were already telling me, you know, the Wertheimers have a nice hard-spun colt. So, you know, it was a big Scopey horse, had a nice way of going. And it's, as much as you can tell at that time when they're just beginning to go to the racetrack, he looked like, you know, he could be a nice colt. So, I mean, we kind of had hopes and expectations for him all the way from the beginning.
Has your dad over the years been a go-to guy? Is he someone you'll pull out the cell phone once in a while? And have you called him over the years and said, you know, I've got a question on a horse. I'm trying to figure this out. What's your take?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, we spend a lot of time talking. We usually speak early in the morning. And, you know, he's had a lot of experience. And sometimes, you know, there are certain things that no matter how long you've been in the business, maybe you haven't seen it or someone else knows a better way to approach it. So, you know, we bounce ideas off one another all the time. And, you know, especially when you have some difficult cases, you know, you like to talk to guys like that that have a lot of wisdom.
Do you remember what your dad said to you when you won your first Derby here with Super Saver?
Probably like it's about time or something. I don't know.
Tell me and explain for our audience, if folks have seen the name Manny Franco, but maybe he doesn't ride in a part of the country where they're real familiar with him. He's young, but he's obviously good. What are the strengths Manny Franco will bring to the table for you on Saturday?
Well, I mean, I think Manny is on his way to being a superstar. And like John Velasquez, Angel Cordero is his agent, mentor. And, you know, so even though he's a young rider, he's, you know, he's experienced. He had a tremendous winter at Aqueduct, won a lot of races for us. I think he's got confidence on his side and momentum on his side. And I tell you, one of the things that impressed me, it's funny how you get impressions of someone, but every summer at Saratoga, they the racetrack chaplaincy has a fundraiser for the New York racetrack chaplaincy, and it's jockeys versus trainers basketball game. And the first time that I really took note, he was like 18 years old, and what an athlete. And so after finding out a little more, not only can he play basketball, he was like on a junior Puerto Rican junior baseball team, you know. And so he's he really caught my attention then. And you can just see as he's gradually gotten better and better. And, you know, he's a tremendous apprentice, and he's made that transition to journeyman. And, you know, we're blessed in New York to have a really strong riding colony and some guys like Manny and Jose Ortiz and Irad Ortiz that are young guys that are riding at an exceptionally high level. And I think, you know, Manny, for those that maybe don't know him nationally or globally, they will.
Did you have to guard Manny in that basketball game?
Nah, this is when I stepped over to the coaching side. I hung up my sneakers a few years ago.
Good luck on Saturday, my friend. Go get number three.
All right.
That was Todd Pletcher with Mike and Kurt, and very enjoyable. Hope you enjoyed listening to that. It's now time for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. Tony Yatiano, the Godfather, stop in, say hello, tell him Jude sent you. And here's the Lexus Legends of the Turf.
Pouring back the sands of time through the hourglass of racing history to a late November day in 1923 brings us to the story of a match race between two superb thoroughbreds who squared off in a rubber match, having defeated each other once already. It was at Churchill Downs, and an enormous crowd had assembled for what promised to be a dandy in no uncertain terms. The combatants, Harry F. Sinclair Zev and Carl Weidemann's In Memoriam. Zeb had won the first confrontation between the two in that year's edition of the Kentucky Derby, and In Memoriam had turned the tables on his foe in the Latonia Championship Stakes barely 3 weeks before this particular match race. Each of the owners put up $10,000. The Kentucky Jockey Club did likewise. The winner was to take home $25,000, the loser $5,000. Earl Sandy was in the saddle on Zeb. Mac Garner drew the assignment on In Memoriam. Zeb was a big brown horse wearing blinkers for this match, and In Memoriam was a strapping bay with a deep chest and a long, free stride. When they lined up at the barrier, every eye was glued to the two stalwarts, and the excitement and anticipation of the moment was indeed intense. Zev made a false start. Then starter William Hamilton let them go on their way to a race that, to this very day, underscored in the annals of sport as one of the all-time great ones. Zev broke out on top, but apparently under orders. Sandy wrapped up his mount a bit and let In Memoriam under Garner go on out to set the pace. Down the stretch, neath the hallowed twin spires and on into the turn, it was In Memoriam by a length. On around the clubhouse turn, they stayed the same way, and as they went down the backside, In Memoriam opened the lead up to a length and a half. At the half-mile pole, In Memoriam headed by two, and Zev's fans began to wonder if their favorite could catch his rival, who was running easily and being well-rated by Garner. At the three-furlong marker, Sandy dropped his mount down and asked for a run, and a run he got. The white silks of the Rancocas stable glistening in the fall sunlight began to cut down the margin, and by the time they hit the top of the stretch, they were racing as a team, a ton of horse flesh pounding powerfully to the wire. This, my friends, was a horse race by any measure or means. In Memoriam on the rail, Zev matching marvelous strides just to the outside of him. As they thundered down the straight, Zev drew away to an open length lead, and then a length and a half, but with a furlong to run. It was for practical purposes all over. It appeared In Memoriam was a beaten horse. But wait just 1 minute. Garner began pumping, whipping, and driving furiously, and with enormous courage, In Memoriam came on again, closing the gap with every long, smooth stride. Late on that bright, sunny autumn afternoon, with shadows creeping across the racing surface, these two titans of the turf, with their brilliant riders driving their mounts forward in synchronized motion, provided the vast throng with the most magnificent spectacle of sport. The crowd roar had been swelling to now reach a crescendo as the two locked together just noses apart, only jumps to the wire. The 40,000 on hand at Churchill that day breathlessly spent from what had been a spectacular race. As they hit the wire with In Memoriam on the rail, Zev on the outside, nothing to separate them. Zev roared some, In Memoriam roared others. "It's a dead heat," yelled one spectator who nearly toppled from a perch on the grandstand roof from all the excitement. Jack Dempsey, a longtime well-noted turf observer, called it In Memoriam by a nose. "In Memoriam," the wires flashed, and the telephones called out. But wait just 1 minute. The call came out that Zev had been declared the winner. So close was the finish that will always be, to this very day, a matter of dispute amongst those who saw it as to which horse actually had won it. There were no photographically recorded finishes in those days, only three placing judges hovering above the track at the wire, who apparently saw Zev's brown nose at the wire, a bare fraction before In Memoriam's ruddy bay nostrils. Both riders, Sandy and Garner, had handled their mounts beautifully. Losing owner Carl Weideman said to winning owner Harry Sinclair, quote, "It was a race fit for kings between the two best horses ever to be found," unquote. It all happened November of 1923 at Churchill Downs, a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm. Bet on Red. Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, VE Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont in Saratoga. V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be too close to call!
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
Power.
Caracondi has won.
Passion.
It's Caracondi winning by a barren neck or so.
Performance.
Caracondi and O'Donnell. Caracondi.
Caracondi, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Caracondi recorded three Grade 1 victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Caracondi recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 132 and 4 fifths. First crop yearlings by Caracondi sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Caracondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
They're making their way to the top of the stretch. Not that Brady has put away Jovia, but here come Tex and Tacitus with their runs. Three quarters in 111.46, and they're into the stretch. And here comes Tex and Tacitus. And the two of them are right together as they come to the eighth pole. Longshot Math Wizard has run a big one. He's third on the outside. Tacitus on the outside. Tex along the rail. Tacitus and Tex locked in battle at the 16th pole. It's Tacitus in front. Tex second on the inside as they come down to the line. Heikal takes third late. It is Tacitus in the Wood Memorial. Tex was second. Heikal was third. Math Wizard was fourth in 151.23.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. That was Larry Colmus on the call of the Wood Memorial. Tacitus made a big move forward in his career in that race. I thought he looked very sharp winning, and he's definitely a major player this afternoon in the Kentucky Derby. We had 42 people so far vote in our Equine Forum poll of the day. Who was the most impressive winner on Kentucky Oaks Day? Concrete Rose has 12%, McKinsey has 33%, World of Trouble 21%, and Serengeti Empress is the leader at 34%. So if you haven't voted yet, go to Twitter or Facebook and put your vote in. We'll see what happens, who you thought was the most impressive winner on Kentucky Oaks Day. Well, you know, Bill Mott is a Hall of Fame trainer, and he has never won the Kentucky Derby. He's seeking that first Kentucky Derby score. He's got two chances this year. Tacitus, who you just heard, be ridden by Jose Ortiz, and Country House, ridden by Flavian Pratt. And Country House is a horse that's been doing very well in the mornings at Churchill Downs. He's flying under the radar. He's going to be a big price, and you may want to include him on your exotic tickets. He's got a better chance than you might think. So Mike and Kurt were able to catch up with Bill Mott this week and talk about his two entrants and how they're coming up to the race and what's happening in their lives. And here's that interview right now.
Kurt, you and I were just talking about the possible pace scenario in the Kentucky Derby, and a horse like Country House may be coming from further back, but a horse like Tacitus, ideal trip for a horse like him if you could write the script for that race.
Well, you'd hope he'd get the ideal trip. I mean, there's a lot of traffic problems in the Derby, and I don't think you can prepare for it, you know, really perfectly. I don't think you can, you know, map out a trip. I think that's what develops when the gate opens. I mean, there's so many different things that can happen, you know, horses breaking good, breaking bad, you know, and everybody's kind of fighting for position. So it's got to be, you know, you got to hopefully you've got a rider that can glide into the right spot and you know, get a good trip around the first turn, and then hope you get down to the second turn and you don't have somebody that's stopping in front of you. Yeah. And you also have to hope that it's not your horse that's stopping. So it's not easy. I don't think, you know what I mean? I think there's been horses that have won, and you know, like Baffert's won it several times, and I think he's wanted his horses up there getting a clear trip. I mean, he generally comes with a speed horse of some sort, you know, or a horse that lays close, and you know, he gets them up and they get a clear trip, and that's pretty much what Justify had last year. I mean, he didn't have to overcome a lot of traffic problems.
You know, everybody's going to make a big deal about Bill Mott having never won the Kentucky Derby, and that's true. You've won 4,900 races. You're still looking for the first one. But in fairness to you, you haven't started that many horses in the Kentucky Derby either.
Well, we haven't. And you know, I thought last year we brought our best shot to the Derby in Hofburg. Although he is very lightly raced, I thought he was a horse that was training extremely well going into the Derby. And I think, you know, I think as it looked like, on the gallop out after the race, it looked like he was ready to run a very good race, but he had two horses stop in front of him going into the second turn, and they both stopped at the same time, and he just got hung up. He had to, you know, reset the autopilot there, and he went into the turn about seven lengths off the lead and came out of the turn about 15 lengths off the lead. So he made up a lot of ground in the stretch, but it's just too late.
You know, Kieran will always talk about trying to win the Kentucky Derby and trying to win it for one of the sheikhs that he trains for, whether it's Hamdan or Sheikh Mohammed. How about for you, trying to win it for your ownership group and for the folks that you train for? What would that be like?
Well, that's what it's really all about. I mean, it's not about me, and it's about the owners, you know, that have put so much into the game. I mean, they're here. They want to win it. They've put the money and the effort for years and years and years to breed these horses and try to come up with one that can win the Derby. And I think for Prince Khaled Abdullah, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, they've been close. I think they've finished second a couple times, but they haven't gotten there. It would mean a lot to me to be the first, you know, be the first one that got him there, you know. So that would be a special part of it for me, not just for me, but just for the ownership.
You know, one thing that always amazes me about Bill Mott is you and I have talked before, and you've talked about Mobridge, South Dakota, and you've talked about going to racetracks that aren't even open anymore, not being able to get stalls because your horses weren't good enough. And now here you are training champion after champion after champion. Could you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that it would end up here?
No, I mean, I told the story yesterday about, you know, when I listened to my first Kentucky Derby, I listened to it on the radio in a 66 GMC truck and on an AM radio. We were in Fort Pierce, South Dakota, and I was in Keith Asmussen's horse van, and I listened to the call of Proud Clarion winning the Derby that year, And I cannot imagine, I could not imagine even being at Churchill Downs or ever running a horse there. So at that point in time, it was only a dream. I mean, I never even really at that time couldn't have even imagined that I'd have ever made the trip here or been here. So, you know, we're going back a lot of time, you know, a long time ago, and travel wasn't as easy then as it is now. But, you know, I did wind up here, and we've done very well in Louisville, and Churchill Downs has been very good to me. And if I never win a Derby, I'd have to say the same thing. I mean, I've done very well here, and a lot of the people that when I started out gave me a shot when I started training here.
Yeah, I'm curious with regard to Country House. When Mr. Shields passed away last fall, Did his wife come to you right away and say, "Look, we want to keep these horses in training," or was there ever any doubt?
Well, there's always some doubt. You know what I mean? Nobody expects that to happen, and when it happens, I think it's a very traumatic experience. And I don't think, you know, the horses probably aren't the first thing that they're thinking about. I think they're more important things to think about. But after, you know, a couple weeks, I think they had discussed it, and the family had made the decision that they wanted to continue on, and I think they probably felt like they would want to call some of the horses and maybe not keep as many, which is understandable, get it down to maybe, you know, a manageable amount for them. But, you know, I actually remember encouraging them to keep the couple horses that I had in training for them, keep them going, because I said, you know what, these horses are ready to run, and you know, one being Country House, one being his half sister, so the half sisters come on, won a couple of races, one being a stake, and of course, you know, Country House has earned his way into the Kentucky Derby, so you know, that part of it turned out to be a good decision, and I think they're enjoying it right now. I think Mrs. Shields is going to be here on Derby Day, and I'm sure she wishes her husband could be here to join her and enjoy it as much as she's going to.
Flavian Pratt, what are the strengths that he brings to the equation that will work well with this particular horse?
Well, I think he's a very patient rider. I have not ridden him a lot. I've ridden him on a handful of horses in the past couple of years, but I don't have a lot of experience with him. But it seems as though I've watched some of his riding, and it seems as though he's patient and he's willing to wait on a horse and make a big run. And I think that's what this horse needs. I think that's what Country House needs. I don't believe he wants to be ridden up into the race or move just because he comes from a long ways back. I don't believe he wants to move, you know, at the half mile pole. I think he's still a horse that wants to wait and make that long run. I think it's one thing to, you know, to maybe pick up horses, you know, at a nice even pace down the backside to get a little better position when you do make your run. But I don't think he's got, you know, any more than a good 2 to 3 furlong good run, which most horses don't have any much of a longer run than that.
With regard to Jose Ortiz, as talented as he is, and I think a lot of folks recognized early on, he had a lot of natural ability. How much have you seen him mature as a race rider in the last couple of years?
Well, he just gets smoother and more confident, I'd say, and he's riding a lot of, you know, now he's riding, you know, he's gone from riding the, you know, the weekday horses to the Saturday horses, and I think he's, you know, he's learning to have more confidence, and you know, when you ride these horses, you've got to trust them a little bit. You know what I mean? You can't, you know, get them going and thinking, well, I better get him going now because that's his only chance. And I believe, you know, if you've got the confidence and you sit and wait and make a proper run with them, I think, you know, they'll do better.
Beautiful. Good luck, Bill.
Thank you.
Yeah, go get.
That was Bill Mott discussing his two entrants in today's Kentucky Derby, Tacitus and Country House. I think Country House has a little bit of an outside chance. He's going to be a big number. He's drawn the 20 hole. Now he'll be in the 19. But just a really strong, good-looking horse who very workmanlike in the morning. You can see he's not a flashy kind of horse, and Bill kind of alluded to that. He wants to make one big run. Looks great in the mornings. And Tacitus, of course, he's just a beautiful gray horse, and he's got tremendous pedigree and really coming up to the race in good shape. He looks absolutely dead fit, and he'll be one of the major contenders this afternoon in the Kentucky Derby. So we have some more stuff lined up for you, but we've got to take a quick break. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one.
Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with 2 locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
The sixth running of the Grade 2 Penn Mile is set for Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National, featuring some of the best three-year-old turf horses in the country. A day that features four match series races in addition to the Penn Mile and Penn Oaks. Plus, there will be three all-stakes pick fours with a 15% takeout. With a special first post of 2:45 p.m. Eastern, you won't want to miss this exciting day at Hollywood Casino at Penn National. It's the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile, Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National.
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
What a 16th of O! Gunrunner, Exaggerator on the outside, Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten! He has won the Kentucky Derby!
Nyquist's winning time in the 2016 Kentucky Derby remains the fastest in the 15 years of the storied event. He was also the first two-year-old champion to win the Derby undefeated since the Great Seattle Slough. And that makes Nyquist your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Nyquist, an Eclipse champion at two when he won three Grade Ones, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, undefeated in eight starts when winning the Kentucky Derby, and the first champion two-year-old to win the Derby undefeated since Seattle Slough. See his first yearlings at the select sales this year. Learn more about Nyquist and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Hidden Scroll puts away Global Campaign. Now he has to deal with Vekoma and on the inside, Code of Honor. And Code of Honor means business. He's into the clear and challenging the favorite as they turn for home. Less than a quarter of a mile to go in the Fountain of Youth. Hidden Scroll digs deep, but Code of Honor blows past. And Code of Honor is on to the front. Hidden Scroll trying to hold on to second. Here's Bourbon War unleashing a big run down the center, but Code of Honor is going to hang on to win the Fountain of Youth three parts of a length over a flying Bourbon War second. Vekoma's in a picture for third with Hidden Scroll in 1:43.4.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Felden, our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Pete Aiello with the call of the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream Park. Tremendous performance that day by Code of Honor. He came back and ran third in the Florida Derby behind a very slow pace that really didn't suit him. He's a rather diminutive kind of horse. He's not the kind of horse you think of when you think of a Kentucky Derby winner, a big strapping colt. He's a kind of a middle-sized horse. He's got some speed if he needs to use it. He's very tractable. His work at Churchill Downs was outstanding. 46-4. He did about a week ago. Just really sharp. I mean, looked great doing it, and he's coming up to the race in good shape. His trainer Shug McGahee won a Kentucky Derby already with Orb, and he's looking for another one coat of honor is by Noble Mission, who is a full brother to Frankel, the sensational sire owned by Judmont, and he's out of the Dixie Union mare. Some people think he might eventually be better on the grass, but he's done quite well for himself on the dirt. And Mike and Kurt were able to catch up with Shug McGahey and find out what Shug's impressions of Coat of Honor are going into today's race.
Well, listen, you're back here at Churchill Downs, back in the Kentucky Derby again, and you bring Coat of Honor in, a horse that I've been high on for a long time. We've talked about him a few times this year. Look back on that campaign here in 2019 for him.
It's been kind of strange, you know. I mean, his race 1st of January at Gulfstream was not what I was looking for, but then I kind of changed directions a little bit with him, and he ran a very good race in the Fountain of Youth that encouraged us, you know, to keep going. And then I thought with the Florida Derby, it was just sort of a strange scenario. You know, the horse got on an easy lead and took us out of our game plan. And, you know, we ran okay to be third. And, you know, after that, you know, it was just a matter of getting here in the right way and trying to, I elected to bring him to Lexington to just sort of get a change of scenery and a little bit of a change of weather. And I think it's helped him. You know, I think he's done very well.
You told me earlier this season that maybe on his comeback race you were maybe a little too easy on him. You kind of cranked down a little bit more on him, and he ran very, very well that next time. How about now coming into the Derby? Have you had to crank down on him, or has it been a different approach?
We've trained him. I mean, he had came to Lexington. We had a good work, you know, coming off of his race. And then a couple weeks, you know, 10 days ago, Johnny worked him there in the mud at Keeneland. And he went 5/8 and 101, got about 13 and changed by himself. So then we came back and had a pretty fast blowout here, and he seemed to come, you know, just skip over this track and came out of it very well. And so, you know, I think we've got enough training in him, and, you know, hopefully we can get a pace and get a clear trip and see what happens.
I was with Johnny that night after he worked him. I was up at the Charlestown Classic. We had dinner together. Javier was there. Johnny showed me the video of that work. He was really impressed with the way he went, and Javier piped up and said, "Yeah, that was a good work." Did you agree?
Oh, no, I was very pleased with his work. You know, it was just exactly what I was looking for. And I got a good bottom into him, you know, with the work. And, you know, we came back here and sharpened him up. So see what happens.
Put him in Orb Stall, maybe a little karma there too.
Well, Barn 43's, I was in here when I trained around Churchill years ago. And so there's a lot of memories here. And obviously, First Stall's got a lot of memories. So we stuck him in there to hopefully it'll rub off on him a little bit.
Outside of Orb, what's your fondest Derby memory?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously Easy Goer was second. You know, that was an awe-inspiring, was third in that Derby. So second and third, that was, you know, that was fun. I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't win, but I understood, you know, he didn't really handle the track that well. And so, you know, it was, that was fun. So that would have been my second most fondest memory of being here and being around here and kind of getting a taste of what it's like to run a favorite in the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, I'm just glad to be back with a chance again.
You know, for years you would come here trying to win that Kentucky Derby. We did a little piece together before you won with Orb. You finally break through and do it. Is it a different feeling when you come back here for the Derby now, having already won one?
Well, I think I'm a lot more relaxed now than I was, you know, when I came here with Orb. You know, he was the favorite. And so I was probably, felt like we had an awfully good chance. And, you know, I was probably a little bit uptight where I think we have an awfully good chance this year. But I'm more relaxed and know a little bit more about it and kind of what it takes. And, you know, you can't get, you know, after when the gate opens, there's not much you can do about it after that. So I'm glad to have a good rider, and that makes it a little bit easier on me, too.
A couple of quick questions. When I look at the pedigree for Code of Honor, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is turf. To look at him physically, is he a turf-looking kind of horse, or is he more of a mile-and-a-quarter dirt kind of horse?
Well, what if Noble Mission had been born over here? You know, he might have been a dirt horse. I don't know, but he's a very efficient little horse. He's never been on the turf. I've never had him on it, so I don't know whether, he'd be fond of it or not. But some part of, you know, people have asked me that earlier in the year. I said, well, I hope I don't have that opportunity for a while to where I have to, because, you know, things won't be going the way I want them to if he does show up on the turf. But, you know, with his pedigree and stuff, you know, you would think that he would probably take to it. And as I say, I mean, he doesn't have, a turf way of going, a lot of action and stuff, because he's very efficient. But I think that that could work in his advantage on the turf too. But I hope that's way down the line.
You have trained for owners who in many cases are not only prominent in this sport, but that are prominent citizens of this country. And I'm curious, you know, Mr. Farish is someone who, my goodness, I mean, the man was an ambassador for the United States government. Is it intimidating at all, or is Mr. Farish an easy guy to talk to?
Well, he's a very easy guy to talk to. And I've been, you know, I've known Mr. Farish for years and years and years, and he's always sort of fed me a horse here or there or two. And so, no, I'm very relaxed around him. It's an honor, obviously, to know him as sort of a friend, and also to be training for a guy that's done as much in his life as he has, and for the horse business, what he and his, you know, and Bill and his family have done with Lane's End Farm, and you know, their support of Bill being the head of the Breeders' Cup and Mr. Farish being chairman of the board of Churchill Downs for 10-12 years. You know, they put a lot of their time and resources into thoroughbred horse racing, and that's an honor to be a part of that.
One more question. We have a running joke in Lexington that when people call you Shug, they don't really know you because, of course, it's pronounced Shug. Curious if you're willing to divulge when you got that nickname and how that nickname came about.
I don't know how the nickname came about. I grew up with it. My mother always says it was not didn't come from sugar. It was just a nickname. I was the third, so they had to call me something, and that was what came up. And that's really the best way I can answer it, because I don't. Otherwise, I don't know.
Fair enough.
Outstanding. That's great. Shug, good luck, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, and you get to see a little insight into his sense of humor, and he's really an interesting guy to be around. He's got almost a photographic memory of every horse that he's trained. He can tell you what day they worked and how far they went. And the Shug thing is great. I always call him Sugar Bear, he's just an amazing guy. And he said he was more relaxed because he's won the Kentucky Derby. And I think if you listen to these interviews, the Hall of Fame trainers, they are more relaxed. It's like commercials on TV about the insurance company. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two, and these guys have seen it all. They've been through a lot of different things. I mean, Richard Mandela just absolutely aced the situation this week because it was so difficult to swallow a horse like Omaha Beach just training like a bomb and then getting an entrapped epiglottis and having to scratch just a few days out from the Kentucky Derby. So these guys, you know, they've been through the wars. They know what's going on, and they're doing their best to get their horse to the race in perfect shape. So it's a little bit of insight into the thinking of a trainer. We've got a lot more coming up for you in the second half of the show. We're going to start out with the press conference from Churchill Downs at the Kentucky Oaks yesterday afternoon. Find out what the ownership and the jockey and trainer had to say about their victory with Serengeti Empress. We'll also have a fantastic interview with Bob Baffert, another Hall of Fame trainer. A very impromptu type interview. Not necessarily scripted out kind of thing, just more of a conversation with Mike and Bob that I think you'll really enjoy. And then Anthony Stabile will come in at the end of the show and give us his impressions of the Oaks and what he's going to do in the Kentucky Derby as far as the gambling side. So that's the second half of the show, and we're certainly looking forward to that. We're going to stop right now and take 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Stone, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Second is Bodie Express. He's running a huge race. Down at the inside in Code of Honor. Hidden Scroll and a one-pace Bourbon War on the outside. But Maximum Security proves he's the real deal with a gate-to-wire win in the Florida Derby.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com.
And Code of Honor is on to the front. Hidden Scroll trying to hold on to second. Here's Bourbon War unleashing a big run down the center, but Code of Honor is going to hang on to win the Fountain of Youth three parts of a length.
Long Range Toddy is running a very big one in the center of the track. Improbable. Long Range Toddy trying to gun him down. Improbable. Here's Long Range Toddy.
Now, here's Jude Feld.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. It's Kentucky Derby Day. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? It's like Christmas for horse players. And right now, it's 9 hours, 48 minutes, and 55 seconds away. It's going to get here before you know it. We always tease Mike about the countdown, but it's one of those situations where the closer it gets, the more excited you get. Your heart starts pumping about noontime. You just can't wait. You just want to get to the big race. So it's that kind of day, and it looks like the weather may be better than we originally thought, which will be nice. It was better for the Oaks yesterday, and speaking of the Oaks, we were able to get a recording of the press conference yesterday after the Oaks with trainer Tom Amos and jockey Jose Ortiz and the owner of the wonderful filly Serengeti Empress. And here is that interview right now.
Winning owner Joel Politti. And winning jockey Jose Ortiz. And this is the first Kentucky Oaks victory for all three of these gentlemen. Tom, I would like to start with you. It's been an amazing few weeks for this filly, and we will get to that backstory. But first, I'd just like to hear your reaction to her performance today.
Well, I've never won a race this big in my entire life, and I've been training since 1987. I've won a lot of races, but not one like this. And I've heard it said that when it happens, it's just a different experience. Today for me, it was a rush of emotions. I thought about my mom and dad, who were 93 and 94. They're at home watching. I know they saw this today. I can't wait to call them and speak to them. My extended family, I've got five brothers and their families. My wife and kids are here. Colleen, my wife, Ashley, my oldest daughter, and Haley, my youngest daughter, are here. And I think as a team, us four, have seen quite a bit, as every trainer has, in terms of sacrifices and getting up early and moving around a lot. But I don't separate me from anyone else. That's the life of a trainer. They put up with a lot, and I think today was just one of those days where just I thought about the people that taught me along the way too. I just had so many emotions, and they were going through my head so fast. As you can tell from the way I'm talking, I'm usually not at a loss for words, but my head is spinning right now.
Well, let me help you out. I know you were not pleased with the post draw. You were further outside than you would have liked, but Jose ended up in a perfect position. How did you see the trip?
So I liked what I saw after the first 100 yards. I saw a horse go down. I did not look at my horse anymore. I was looking at that horse. I saw she got up and she was okay, and the rider got up. And then I put my focus back on my horse. At that point, I could see that Jose was riding to try to make the lead, which we discussed. And when he made the lead before going to the turn and was able to save ground around the first turn, I felt comfortable with that. Down the backside, when they put up a very fast opening half mile, my wife turned to me and said, "That's too quick." And I said, not for her, it's not. Because when my filly's good, she's really good. And that's really what we should be talking about. She's a great athlete, and I'm so blessed to have her. So, yeah, I guess the focus is on us three, but if we could put her in that fourth chair right there, I'd love to do it, because she would tell you, I'm the man.
Jose, I'd love to hear it in your words. You must have been a little bit surprised to get the lead as easily as you did and then be all alone. Just describe the trip for us.
Well, I appreciate the confidence, first of all. Thank you, both of you, for giving me the opportunity to ride her. Tom gave me a lot of confidence on her. I've never been on her, and he told me, ride it like you own her. And that's what I did. I went out of there. I know her best races are in the lead, and I just tried to get her comfortable. I don't care if I was going a little bit too fast. As long as she was comfortable, I was comfortable with it. So.
And then can you tell us about, say, the last eighth of a mile when Leora was coming to you and what she gave you there?
When we passed the waterfall, I went start riding her, and she responded well. When she put her hair down, took off, I said, man, she's going big today. And past the apple, I hit a left hand, that she gave me that second gear, and from that point on, I know that fate was never going to go back. She pinned her ears down, and she was going to keep going.
Jose, there she goes right there.
Yeah. And I'm so excited to be in this position, but I got to say, when I see Tyler working the building, Jimmy's my name, say, why I'm not working the Philly if I'm gonna ride it? And I was a little worried. Say, no, don't worry about it. Hey, Tyler probably is gonna ride it if the other Philly draws in the race. Say, okay. No. I was a little nervous until I see the entry came out. But I knew she was very light because last time she had some issues on the Fairground Oaks.
Yeah.
And I knew Tom was gonna have it ready with that breeze 58, and she did everything right just like he wanted. He was very happy with her, and I was very happy. You know, he got a lot of confidence, and he passed it to me. Like, I love to ride for owners, friends that tell me that, just do your thing, you know. I love it.
Well, Tom did indeed have her ready, despite leading in the Fairgrounds Oaks. Joel, can you just talk about, since that race and everything that you've been through, getting her ready after a disastrous performance in New Orleans?
Well, the getting her ready is all Tom. So credit here goes to Tom. You've heard say he won a lot of races. I think Tom's the greatest trainer in the world, and I'm ecstatic that he won this race. So what we've been through emotionally in the last 6 weeks is a lot of things, because to us, she's a really special horse. And so the first thing that we talked about repetitively was the day after the Oaks, Tom and I stood in the barn and said, we're not under any pressure to run in the Oaks. We were very both resolute in that we were not going to run in the Oaks today under any press or push just to run in this race. And we took it day by day, and she's an incredible athlete, and she showed it every day in the morning. And Tom and I have talked on the phone and texted to the point where we've got a direct line, right? T1 direct communication. And she told us that she was fine repetitively along the way. And if she wasn't, both of us were very committed to not running. And again, every day she showed us that she was fine. And that last work, if you haven't watched the replay, it's on YouTube. It's an eye popper. You don't really need to watch the replay because you get to watch this one, but she gave us a lot of confidence.
Yeah. Tom, you were cautiously optimistic after that stiff work. Can you just follow up about the last 6 weeks?
Sure.
Especially the work you put into her to confirm she was good.
We got up here after the Fairgrounds Oaks, and she had bled in the Fairgrounds Oaks and bled significantly. She bled outwardly. And they gave her a precautionary ride back to the barn area on the horse ambulance for the bleeding. And when I got up here, I thought to myself, I'm reading all these comments that she's hurt. And she was never hurt, obviously. But I finally decided one day that I was going to bring her out to the racetrack. This is in early April. We just got here. And I was just going to take a film clip of her to put on social media, because we were being very transparent with her. And I'd also decided at that time that I did not think we were going to run in the Kentucky Oaks. And when we made that decision, when we announced it, I was concerned people would again think that she was hurt from the Fairgrounds Oaks. So I told my exercise rider to back her up to the 7/8 pole, which is literally 3/8 a mile, and then gallop her behind me so I can film her on my phone at the half mile pole and pull her up. So we're talking about setting her to the track and going 5/8 of a mile in a gallop, which no one ever does. But I just did it because I wanted to get video of her so people could see that I wasn't hiding anything from anybody about her health. And I took the video and I sat up there, and all of a sudden she came around again, and he misunderstood my instructions and went an extra mile. When she came around the second mile, her ears were doing this. I mean, it was fate, you know. She was look, horses talk. And she talked to me that morning and said, you know, I'm going to be okay. And if he hadn't made that mistake that day, if my exercise rider hadn't made that mistake that day, I was getting ready to call Joel and say, let's just leave the race alone. But when she came back around and looked as good as she did, I went back to the barn and I changed my mind, and we took it day to day from there. We tried to be very transparent in everything we did. It's all on social media. The work Jose is talking about was a work with another horse. Again, she spoke to us that day when she worked. I called it that morning after the work, a wow work. And most importantly, on that particular day, we treated her therapeutically, just as we were going to treat her for the Kentucky Oaks. So it was important that not only she worked well, but that she didn't have a bleeding episode. So we scoped her afterwards, and she was clean. For those of you who are at the barn, Dr. Dunlap, who scoped her, spoke to you guys and said, she looks perfect. And I called Joel and I said, we're going to go. We're gonna go in the race. So, you know, when I watched her today out of the gate, it looked a lot like the Pocahontas last year. She made the lead out of the gate down the backside, just like in the Pocahontas last year as a two-year-old, right here on this track. She went very, very quick. But the ears tell the tale. And when the ears are doing this, you know you got something underneath you. And I watched it on TV, and I wasn't concerned about how fast she was going. I knew Jose had horse, and that was sweet, very sweet.
Well, there you have Tom Amos. And what a fantastic job he did with this filly. He's such a hardworking guy. And for the last several years, he's had horses on the Derby trail. He doesn't get a barn full of well-bred horses every year. He has to go out and look for horses and find them. And he's had some horses come close to the Kentucky Derby. But this was his first Oaks yesterday. He did a great job. He's a modern-day trainer. He uses all the tools available to him. And he loves to share with the public what he's doing with his horses, and that's a big feather in his cap. And because he did such a great job yesterday, he is this week's Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Stuart offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation and would like to thank their owners, clients, and team. Their success is because of you. With multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all major sales. Thanks to Stuart for that, and congratulations to Tom Amos on his victory yesterday and being the Industry Star of the Week. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care Products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family.
If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 and 3 quarter length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins a Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me and Jude Feld every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Express Bet Radio on HRN. We'll have live racing from summer tracks like Belmont, Saratoga, Del Mar, Santa Anita, Churchill Downs, and more, and interviews with the top horsemen and women from around the country. You can tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live worldwide at horseracingradio.net. That's Express Bet Radio on HRN.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
It's Captain Bodgett on the outside. Silver Charm at the rail. Those two to the wire. Here's the finish. Silver Charm by a neck with Gary Stevens. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
Coming down to the final 16th. Now he's in front by three, and now he's going to win it. War Emblem has won the Derby in front-running fashion.
Coming to the finish, American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby. Justify a two-length lead as they come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third for the inside. Then it's still Gregardo coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is your host, Jude Feld, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. He's just awesome. Those words will be played forever and ever now about Justify, who was so impressive taking last year's edition of the Kentucky Derby. An amazing horse trained by Bob Baffert, his fifth Kentucky Derby winner. And you heard them all. You heard them all right there. I mean, you just go down that line and you can't imagine. One of the highlights of my year last year was going to old friends and seeing Silver Charm. Feisty as ever. He loves people. I took a friend of mine, Christian Dickinson, who used to gallop him for Bob Baffert, and she took a couple pictures with him, but he saw her and he came running dead run to the fence to visit her. And that was really cool. It's a lot of fun. War Emblem's over there too. And he's kind of a nasty kind of guy. He doesn't like people. I was on a little bit of a tour one day. I kind of joined in late, and he bit a guy right on the shoulder. The guy jumped 5 feet in the air. Don't blame him, but it didn't really hurt him that badly, but the man was quite taken aback by the whole thing. And he'd been warned by the tour guide not to get too close to him, but he turned his back to him and War Emblem just reached over the fence and grabbed him. So it's very interesting to be around these horses when they retire and see their personalities. And a lot of times they're just like they were when they were at the racetrack. Well, Bob Baffert, he's an amazing trainer. He's an amazing person. A lot of times, if you catch him on the right day, he'll just sit down and talk about things for a long time. We've had some great interviews with him. One that was particularly memorable was at the Saratoga sale. And he was training American Pharoah at the time, and he really didn't want to be interviewed on TV. And he saw the headset sitting on our table at the Fasig Tipton sales grounds. And he just came over and sat down, put on the headphones, and spoke to Mike and I for about a half an hour. And it was just outstanding. So here's another situation like this where Mike caught up with Bob at Churchill Downs this week. And they just talked about whatever came to mind.
Bob, first of all, thanks for taking the time and welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. You know, just it's nice to come up today, driving up and see all these people back here. It's, you know, the Derby experience, just the week leading up to it, that's probably the best part. You know, the race, it's over in 2 minutes, you know, but it's, you know, it's why we're in the game, why we, you know, 7 days a week make all these sacrifices. But at the end of the day, this is, you know, this makes up for it. And we're here and just waiting for the hope everything plays out nice and for this week. So far, so good.
What's it like when you walk back into Barn 33, where we're sitting right now, and you come back in here for the first time to start Derby week? What's that like?
Well, I mean, when I drive up and you see all the crowd, they're waiting, you know, they want to, you know, a lot of fans, they just love horse racing. And when you see all those fans out there, then get out of your car and they're like, oh, you know, they want to get a picture. They want to, you know, a lot of people, they come from everywhere. And so it's exciting for them also. So I make sure that, you know, everybody enjoys their experience.
On the wall outside of your barn, there are signs that have the names displayed of all five Kentucky Derby winners. There's your Kentucky Oaks winners. I look at that sign, that board, and I'm in awe. How about you? When you look at it, what comes to mind?
I think it looks a little light. There should be at least 8 Derby wins up there. No, you know, it's pretty remarkable. I've never thought. I remember the first time I came here, you know, with Cavaneer, I was just hoping to light the board. I never, you know, envisioned myself winning a Kentucky Derby, but it was fun to be here, and we had a blast. I mean, really enjoyed the whole week, and then. Getting up and getting beat right on the wire.
Unbridled Stone, Cavaneer on the inside, out in the middle of the track. Grindstone is closing stoutly. It's Cavaneer on the inside and Grindstone on the outside. McCarron and Bailey, here's the finish. Too tight to call. Was it Cavaneer on the inside? Was it Bailey with Grindstone on the outside? Noses apart after a mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, that was horrible. I wish I would have gotten beat 2 lengths. I would have felt better. And so, and then to come back and, you know, Silver Charm wins. So it's one of those things where you just better enjoy every moment because you never know when it can happen again. Because, you know, winning 2 in a row, that was not good because I thought, man, I got this down. There's no problem. And then it went pretty quiet there until War Emblem. I got lucky and just bought him a month before. So I just think that everything happens for a reason. I believe in fate, and, you know, I was supposed to get beat a nose and suffer a little bit and then win 2, and then I had some bad luck, you know, with point given. He just didn't run that day, and looking at Lucky, had a bad trip. Bodie Meister went way too fast early.
Bodie Meister holding on to the lead.
Then we come, you know, with American Pharoah. He barely gets it done.
It's American Pharoah in front, firing wide. Dorfman is third, Frosted is fourth. Coming to the finish, American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
And then justify. You know, he gets it done after a, you know, a Bodemeister type pace.
As they come into the final furlong, Bravazo's down the center of the track, and then Audible on the inside, who's now up in a third, justify a two-length lead as they come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second, Audible third toward the inside, then it's still Regard, they're coming to the wire. He's just awesome! Justify has won the Kentucky Derby!
And so I'm, you know, when they hit the wire, I'm just so relieved, like, oh, I got to do it again. So, so when I come in here, I just pretend like it's the first Derby I've ever been to.
Of the five that you won, are there a couple that for whatever reason might be more rewarding than the others? I know they're all special, but are there a couple that stand out maybe a little bit more?
You know, I think those first two were the most exciting. I really felt that Silver Charm winning, and it was for Bob Lewis. You know, he's just such a great guy. And then him holding on after getting beat like that.
Silver Charm to the front, on the inside, Freehouse, on the outside, Captain Bodget. It's Captain Bodget on the outside. Silver Charm at the rail, those two to the wire. Here's the finish. Silver Charm by a neck with Gary Stevens.
And then winning it for my good friend Mike Pegram, Real Quiet.
But Real Quiet is at the eighth pole. He's got the lead by two. Indian Charlie, Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming. Real Quiet is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
You know, I had two in there. I had Indian Charlie and him, and they were people that had been with me forever, and so those were really exciting, where I really just, you know, and War Emblem, it was, you know, we bought them, and I think it would have been better, point given, if he would have won, that would have been bigger, because I really thought that was going to be my first Triple Crown winner. I think he was the right horse for it, and but we just didn't show up that day.
You think about the great athletes in sports that have won six championships, Michael Jordan, six NBA titles, Tom Brady. We saw him win a sixth Super Bowl. You're in search of a sixth Kentucky Derby, which would equal the great Hall of Famer Ben Jones, if you can pull it off. To hear your name now, Bob Baffert, the guy from Nogales, Arizona, that grew up getting run off with horses. You've told me those stories before. To be in a position like this to win six Kentucky Derbies, you ever think in your wildest dreams you'd be in this position?
Not really. I remember my brother, he was in 4-H. It's this, you know, and he was judging and showing steers, and he won this contest. And so he got a trip to Lexington, Kentucky, and to go to farms, and he came back, and he brought this magazine, a blood horse magazine. And my father got it, so my father, he ordered it, and he was telling us about the trip. I'll never forget, Najwa was on the cover. He was a stallion. He was on the cover. And I think the horse was, and if you ordered the blood horse, they would send you a headshot of the Kentucky Derby winner. And I remember it was the horse year before Majestic Prince, whatever that horse was.
Okay.
And he put those pictures in the kitchen. And I remember looking at those pictures and I go, Dad, what horse, what is that horse? He says, oh, that horse won the Kentucky Derby. And that's when I really knew about the Kentucky Derby. I didn't know what it was. And so then the Blood Horse magazine would come in, and I started reading the Blood Horse, and I started learning about thoroughbreds, and because we were around quarter horses all that time. And so that was my introduction to thoroughbred racing, is when my brother went there, and I forget what year it was, but I wanted to say it had to have been like in the 60s, late 60s or whatever.
Yeah. You know, you're always so humble every time we get a chance to talk, and you're reflective too, which I love. You appreciate history, the history of the game. I mentioned Michael Jordan. I mentioned Tom Brady, considered the greatest of all time in their sports. Is Bob Baffert the greatest of all time in thoroughbred racing? Do you look at yourself like that?
I want to get paid like those guys, okay? I am, you know what? I don't really look at it that way. I think that I'm not the athlete, you know, the horses are. I'm more of a coach. And so I think that I just feel And, you know, I'm just glad I did a lot of it while my parents were still alive. That meant more to me than anything because they got to see their son win the Kentucky Derby. Unfortunately, they weren't around for American Pharoah, and they would have loved that because, you know, they were there for all my other Triple Crown races. It was so disappointing. It's funny how you can win the Derby, the Preakness, and you're riding this high. And the minute you get beat in the Belmont, it's like you lose every feeling of that you had. You know, you can't say, well, we won the Derby. Yeah, but, you know, it's like American Pharoah. When he got beat at Saratoga, we were on this super high. And the minute he got beat, I'll never forget, we flew back and he comes back to Del Mar. And there was nobody waiting for him. You know, before we'd come back from the Haskell, there'd be like 30 people. Couldn't wait to see him get off the plane and all that. But it's funny how you get beat. It's like, man, you're just like, and you remember things like that. Like, where'd everybody go? You know, but it's, you know, to be in this position and, you know, to me, I work now, it's for my clients. You know, I want them to enjoy it. I want them to have the Derby experience. Get in here early, watch them train. That's the whole part, you know. Go to dinner, talk about it. The whole town is talking about horses. And so, and when, you know, there's nothing. I remember last year with Justify is watching the ownership group, you know, where I'm getting them across the track to make sure everybody got in because it was rainy. And it's tough to get in the winner's circle. A lot of security. So I stayed back. You know, I told Jimmy, well, you take care of the horse. I'm going to stay back, make sure, you know, everybody gets in. And it's a good thing I went back because, you know, like Kenny Trout, they wouldn't let him in. And
wow.
It's tough, I'm telling you. And China Horse Club, Mr. Tao, his wife, was in a wheelchair. We had to get her in there. And so it was, you know, I stayed back to, you know, I got to do a lot of, the managing keeps going, right?
Yeah.
To go back there. Because I remember the first year when Silver Charm won, my sister and her husband, they wouldn't let him across. So they weren't in Silver Charms because it's crazy. You know, you're excited and everybody's trying to get across. So after that, I made sure that when I won the Derby, I stay back and make sure everybody gets in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's neat. You talked about your parents and wishing they were here to see American Pharoah and the Triple Crown, but at least they got to see you win some Kentucky Derbies. Now, as a father, you get to share those moments with your son, Bodie. He's always by your side at these big races. Now, how neat is that?
Yeah, he really gets nervous. He's like his mother. But my other boys, you know, I get to share it with them too. And Bodie just loves them. So we're always hanging together. They show up, but they don't get as nervous, you know, as like Bodie. He's around it 24/7 because he knows how we feel, how difficult it is. And so my other boys, they come here to party and, you know, and get with the program. But it's, you know, when... With Bodie Meister, it was tough on Bodie when he got beat. It was really, I could tell it was really bothering him. You know, it was his namesake and all. And so, but, you know, when American Pharoah won, he was like, NBC had a shot of him. They just happened to have a camera on him. And it was priceless, his reaction. This little boy just going, just jumping up and down, going crazy. And so, to me, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, horse racing is like, It's you can't really until you've been through it. There's not the feeling of just winning a race, but to win the Kentucky Derby is like the most exciting, you know, experience that you can, you know. I'm sure it's like a player winning the Super Bowl, or, you know, you can't wait, or when you win the Masters, you know, it's like the Derby is, Masters is in golf, you know. It's like, it's difficult, it's a unique, and it's, you know, it's one that, you know, they can they can't take it away from you.
There's that picture, that famous picture of you winning with Silver Charm, your first Kentucky Derby, and you've got the trophy and you held it up above your head or put it on top of your head, and that picture's been shown millions of times in the world of thoroughbred racing and the world of sports. The Bob Baffert that was here when you won that first one, the Bob Baffert that's here in 2019 looking for win number 6. What's different about those two guys?
The first ones, that was sort of like the obnoxious Bob Baffert. But I was having fun. You know what? You work so hard. I came from the quarter horse world, so I wasn't. You know, I wasn't. I probably, you know, the etiquette. You know, I didn't know the total etiquette of thoroughbred racing yet. You know, I'm just a cowboy. And I was just, you know, you're up there and you think, you know what, I may never be up here again. And I was just having fun with it, you know. And but sometimes having fun can come across as being obnoxious to some people. And so I've toned it down quite a bit. I'm just the more kinder, thoughtful, maybe, Bob Baffert. But there's a little kid in me that, you know, once in a while I might dab here and there, depending on the excitement of it all.
Well, that's what makes you who you are. It really is.
It's exciting. The thing is about it, you know, and we don't have a football to spike or anything like that. We got to do something, you know, and so it's the excitement of it all. And in those early years, you know, my brother was come with me. We'd have a lot of fun and entertain all the reporters in the crowd. And it was like the Bill and Bob show. But now, you know, and my parents would be watching and on television or something. And so we would always, you know, I was entertaining them.
All right, let's talk about the three horses you have in this year. And I'll just say their name. You tell me the first couple of thoughts that come to mind. Game Winner.
Game Winner, Champion, Gutty. Comes off two tough losses, you know, where he just barely got beat. But I really think that now I've got him in a spot now. He's ready now for the next, you know, I think now he's ready for the Kentucky Derby. He just needed two runs there to get him ready. And that was the plan on all these horses. So I think he'll get a mile and a quarter. You know, he's not, you know, he needs some pace to run at. But now, you know, Rosario can ride him with a lot more confidence. He can just sit on him and make his move.
He won the Juvenile, Breeders' Cup Juvenile, here at Churchill last year. Is there an advantage to having already won over the surface?
I think the advantage is having a really good horse. That's the advantage here. You better come with a runner, you need to draw well. You need some racing luck. The whole key is to save. You have to save ground on the first turn. That's the whole key. I mean, you can get away with it being outside. You know, Pharaoh was outside wide the whole way because he was just a superior racehorse. Justify was a little bit wide, went extremely fast, superior. I can't say that for these three, you know, that they're in that league yet, you know. They're really good horses. So I said Omaha Beach, you know, he's beaten Game Winner and Improbable. So, but he hasn't beaten Roadster yet. So, but you never know. They have to all show up.
How about Roadster? Tell me about him.
Roadster was to me, he was like at the beginning, you know, as 2 year olds, he was the one that really stood out. I thought, you know, he's got potential. You know, when a quality road can really run, they can really, really run. And I think the distance is not a problem for him. He's a lighter framed, really lean looking horse. He'll get a mile and a quarter easily. He's got enough speed to keep him up close, keep him out of trouble. He has gears. He's got a new rider. I said Mike Smith. It's tough for him to, you know, I think maybe I could have forced him to ride him, but I didn't want to do that. You know, I said, you ride the horse, you know, if you think, you know, that horse is a better horse, then ride him, you know. And so, I think with the right kind of trip, I think he's got a lot of upside to him. I think, you know, coming off, you know, he had run a long time. His comeback race was great. Didn't win, and he beat Game Winner. I don't think Game Winner saw him, you know, coming on the outside. And Santa Anita has been very deep and tough to get through. You know, and horses don't close. And Roadster is the only horse that closed that day. You know, and so the California horses seem like they're pretty tough. And so I don't know. I think he's always a horse that I thought that was could be like a superior type racehorse. And so, but then he was on the shelf for a while, so now we're coming back. So, you know, if he's that good, you know, he can get it done.
Improbable?
Improbable, he's you know, he's a beautiful horse. He's, you know, he's like a Justify, but a little smaller version of Justify. But he's got probably the fluid motion you'll see. He's got a beautiful long stride. He's quick. He's gave me really scary moments. I put the blinkers on him. He got a little upset, got a little anxiety. He was in the gate a long time. Could have easily sat down in the gate. He was acting up. And luckily they opened the gate. They let him out because he was getting ready to just lose it in the gate.
Oh,
and,
wow.
He was losing the gate. I was losing it watching him. and then for him to get back in there, and he still broke like a shot, tracked horses, was wide, and was... And he got beat by a really good horse. But, you know, he only got beat a length after all that, and they still beat the field like three lengths or whatever. So, you know, he's a horse that, you know, I thought Breeders' Cup Day, he won the Street Sense race a mile, and he looked as impressive as Game Winner.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like, you know, we thought, well, maybe this is the Derby horse. So he's the kind of horse that, you know, with the right trip, you know, I think all three of them, you know, if they get the right trip, they all, it's hard for me. I can't really separate them right now. And I just hope when they turn for home, I hope it's just those three turning for home, you know. So, you know, that'd really be enjoyable.
How do you keep an eye on all three?
It depends what post positions they're in, and I'll usually watch one, and I'll have people around me watch other horses, and I just want to know how they break, you know. And I usually watch the one that's, if one's acting up in there a little bit, you know, or whatever. But I think that I don't know which one I'll be watching at the time, you know.
Well, good luck, my friend. Hopefully number six is in the cards for you here on Saturday. And you've always been so gracious with your time with me, and I can't thank you enough, Bob. Thank you.
Well, let's hope there's a six out there, because I don't want to wait another 10 years like I did.
Let's go get it done this year.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck.
That was Bob Baffert shooting the breeze with Mike this week at Churchill Downs. And an amazing record he's amassed in a relatively short period of time. He might think it's a long time, but it's really not. And five Derby wins on his record, and looking for number six. So just fantastic, and we wish him all the best. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one.
Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with two locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!
The sixth running of the Grade 2 Penn Mile is set for Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National, featuring some of the best three-year-old turf horses in the country. A day that features four match series races in addition to the Penn Mile and Penn Oaks. Plus, there will be three all-stakes pick fours with a 15% takeout. With a special first post of 2:45 p.m. Eastern, you won't want to miss this exciting day at Hollywood Casino at Penn National. It's the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man is a sire in the making. A precocious juvenile, classic three-year-old, and dominant older horse.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126th Suburban in a dazzling time.
Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes grade one placed three-year-old Mucho Gusto.
Mucho Gusto, impressive in victory, cruises home by five easy lengths.
And talented three-year-old filly Mucho Unusual.
And this is going to be an authoritative score for Mucho Unusual. All the the way in the Cal Cup Oaks.
A top five second crop sire in 2019, Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From bowling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Up-close experiences at our stud farms, nursery and sport horse farms, clinics, a training track, a feed mill, and aftercare facilities will open your eyes to the dedicated care these equine athletes receive for a lifetime. And don't forget to grab a free passport on your tour and start collecting stamps at every location you visit. Book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds by Distorted Humor. Millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
So Fabian Pratt asking a lot from Bellafina now. She is starting to pick up her stride, but she's got work to do. And here comes Leora. Leora and Channing Hill on the outside of Serengeti Empress, who digs in toward the rail. It's these two, Lidiapolis Third, the others with plenty of work to do. It's down to these two and Serengeti Empress, who's holding off the challenge of Leora as they come down to the line. Serengeti Empress has taken the Kentucky Oaks. Leora was second, Lady Apple was third, then came Champagne Anyone, Bellafina finishes fifth. The final time was 1 minute 50.17 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is your host, Jude Feld. I'm in the Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. And that was Larry Colmus with the call of yesterday's Kentucky Oaks. And what a race that was. It's now time for the Blood Horse News Update. Some early morning rain and a cloudy day did not dampen what would be a record day of wagering on the 13-race Kentucky Oaks Day card May 3rd at Churchill Downs. Wagering on the 145th edition of the 1.25 million Longines Kentucky Oaks reached record levels as front-running Serengeti Empress captured the race before a crowd of 105,719 that braved early morning rain. Wagering from all sources on the Kentucky Oaks Day card, which featured six graded stakes, totaled $60.2 million, an 8% increase over the previous record of $55.8 million in 2018. And that's your Blood Horse News Update for today. And if you're interested in more information from the Blood Horse, don't miss any Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown race coverage like only Blood Horse Magazine tablet can bring you. Plus, right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Triple Crown Special, which is 12 weekly issues for only $12. Go to bloodhorse.com/TC to sign up now. And if you have an iPad or tablet, you can get each issue as soon as it's released, no waiting. That's bloodhorse.com/TC. And now, what you've all been waiting for, we're going to be joined by Anthony Stabile.
Hi, Jude.
Hey.
Good job this morning.
What's up? Thank you.
All set, ready to roll. Actually got to relax a little bit yesterday. After all the work we've put in the last few weeks and months, if you will, and ready to roll. Excellent performance by Serengeti Empress yesterday, huh? You know, Tom had mentioned to a few colleagues of mine over at NYRA that he thought he had solved the bleeding issue, and he did, man. She ran from the rip yesterday. Great job by Jose. I don't know where the other speed was, but God bless him. Gate to wire, heck of a performance.
Yeah, no, it really was. I mean, she was pretty much devastating in that field. just took it to him and continued on running. He mentioned it in the press conference that, you know, his wife had said, "Oh, she's going too fast." He told her, "No, she's not."
You and I talk about this all the time. Let these speed horses run from the rip, right? Dale Roman said the same thing to me last year when promises fulfilled in the Fountain of Youth, and now he's turned into be a hell of a sprinter. Nobody would ever think he's going to go two turns. But when you let these horses free run on the lead and do what they want to do, they can. Jose did a great job. Look, there's not too many better gate riders. Great job by Jose. Good job by Leora, ran her eyeballs out. Fun performance. It didn't get my vote, though, on the poll this morning. World of Trouble, man. What a cool racehorse. Isn't it? I'm pretty sure they could break up the Dragon Glass up in over in Westeros, and he'd run over it. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's an unbelievable horse. Fun horse to watch.
He's very cool, and I was happy for him because that was such a tough beat he took in the Breeders' Cup, and he ran super yesterday. Serengeti Empress is actually winning the poll. She's been going head and head with McKenzie all day. There's 69 votes in, and she's got 36% of the vote. So it's Serengeti Empress, McKenzie, World of Trouble, and Concrete Rose. I guess many people weren't as impressed with Concrete Rose as I was, beating what you and I both think might be the best 3-year-old filly in the world.
Yeah, I still think she is. That was a heck of a performance. I don't know if the other filly was 100%. She went really fast, but an excellent appetizer yesterday for the entree today. It's always about food with me. The entree today looks like the weather is going to be okay, Danny. You're a lot closer than I am.
Yeah, well, Jude Redfield, who is one of the local Louisville weather forecasters, he's been doing the weather for the Kentucky Derby for several years, and we've gotten to be friends over the years because of our names, and he does a really good job. And he said showers up until noon, and then, you know, kind of maybe intermittent little spring ups here and there during the day. So I'm hoping it's more of a day like yesterday than the gloom and doom that they had been talking about earlier.
Yeah, it'd be great. I'd like to see an even track. I'd like to see a fast track. And we're set up for a heck of a day today. And it's finally here. My boy Tacitus, I've been waiting since October to get him into Kentucky Derby 145 to the starting gate. And I'm excited for the Derby today. Really bummed for my friends Rajiv Mirage and Kieran McLaughlin. Obviously bummed for Richard Mandela too. But Ty Collin, Omaha Beach, are going to be missed today. But a good field of 19. I like Tacitus. I like some Code of Honor. Chuck sounded pretty confident in that interview with Mike and Kurt that I was listening to earlier on the program. And if Bob Baffert gets number 6, I think it'll be with Game Winner. I don't really like the other two. I don't think Game Winner really wants the mile and a quarter, but with Bob Baffert in your corner and my main man Joel Rosario, anything is obviously possible.
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting field. I think the wagering is going to be all over the place. Everybody seems to have their favorite horse or the horse they think has a big chance at a price. I don't think we're going to see a lot of big long shots, and we're certainly not going to see a heavy favorite. So everybody's got a chance to make some money.
Yeah. Still got a chance to go listen to that weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts as well. Jude and I have 10 of the three at Belmont, and they're on the turf for the 2 stakes at Belmont, and then the 7 races, the 7 stakes at Churchill. Where my Warriors Club, that's the price play for me today, Pontiff. I'm going to try and get him home at a price. There's some speed in there with Matoli and Promises Fulfilled and some others. Hopefully he can pick up the pieces under Rosario, and we can get home a $20 mutual.
Yeah, that would be good. He's a horse that likes Churchill Downs, too.
Yeah, he is. He is. Should be a fun day. I know you'll be spending it with Monty the Wonder, Jack Russell. I'm in my hotel room ready to go grub up at Mohegan Sun. Getting ready for it. If you're up in New England, come on out. We'll have a great time today. Action starts at 10. We'll be getting on stage around 12:45 for the first stakes race to Umana Distaff. But if you're in New England, come on out.
Yeah, you guys always seem to have a great time. That party's been going on for several years. Talk about that a minute.
Yeah, we've been up here. First time I was here to co-host that party was 16 years ago, when the Gutsy Gelding got the money, and I had a couple of guys in the front row actually try to put me up on their shoulders. It didn't work, but they tried. We gave out the exact cold that day. If Tacitus and Code of Honor can do the can do what they need to do today, maybe we'll see if we can get five or six guys to hoist me up, and we'll take a picture and send it out.
Yeah, you're a little lighter this year, so maybe.
I'm a lot lighter. I'm probably 80 pounds lighter now than I was back then, so they should have a really easy time of it.
Yeah, should be nothing. Should be like giving Rajiv a leg up on a horse. No problem whatsoever. Well, thanks for coming on, Anthony, and you have a great day today. Hope your party's wonderful. You cash a lot of tickets. We've got to catch our last break here, and so enjoy yourself. All right, talk to you again Wednesday.
Enjoy the day.
All right.
Yes, we'll talk to you Wednesday.
And this is the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Record prize money for horsemen and great racing highlight the 145th spring meet at Churchill Downs. Churchill will be offering more than $30 million in total purses, an increase of nearly $8 million over 2018, with $12 million in stakes purses and $18 million in overnight races. Maiden races during the spring meet will be worth $85,000, up from $53,000 last year, and allowance purses will range from $87,000 to $94,000. Record prize money and great racing this spring at Churchill Downs.
Racing fans, Kentucky Derby Day has arrived, and you want to be sure to join us here at Santa Anita for the biggest derby party west of Louisville. And with Santa Anita-based horses, Roadster Game Winner, and Improbable leading the way, there is no better place to smell the roses than right here at the Great Race Place. Admission gates open on Derby Day at 7:15 a.m. for a tremendous undercard from Churchill Downs, and our first live race post time is at 12 noon. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Airdrie Stud's Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Stud's Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Power.
Cara Conti has won.
Passion.
It's Cara Conti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Cara Conti and O'Donnell. Cara Conti.
Cara Conti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Cara Conti recorded three grade one victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Cara Conti recorded a grade one win at two before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at three, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. First crop yearlings by Cara Conti sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. And just 8 hours, 51 minutes, and 28 seconds until the Kentucky Derby. Fantastic card today at Churchill Downs. Really looking forward to that. And I want to remind everybody that our race coverage begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and is presented by TwinSpires.com. You can reach us at Sirius 219, XM 201, and HorseRacingRadio.net. There's a complete list of nationwide affiliates on our website. That's HorseRacingRadio.net. Thanks to all of our guests and our producer, Lee Delapina. Have a safe and sane Kentucky Derby, and may the next ticket you buy be a winning one. As I usually end the show, good night, Barbados.